Boom. It seemed a little bit quicker than usual. Give it a little bit, let everybody get in here. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you're listening, wherever you're listening, however you're listening. Great to see everybody. Dickie and Conrad already in the chat. GM, gentlemen, hopefully Ian's are both doing well on this wonderful first day of 2025. I'm excited for this year. Last year, I never say I have a bad year, but there are definitely years where more bad stuff happens than other years. And last year was definitely one of those years where more bad things happen than usual. And some of that probably is a consequence of just me being me, which I'm perfectly willing to accept that as a consequence of living as a human being in this planet. Some of that was unfortunately out of my hands. Obviously I talked on the Merry Christmas stream about how we had to put our dog down, my 18-year-old girl, Posh, which is upsetting, but, you know, part of nature, unfortunately. I told my car, my dude messed up his paw, just real big old gash, and there's blood everywhere, but I'm sure there were some other things. The political stuff, I don't want to say I entirely checked out, but I just couldn't get emotionally invested. But we're pretty much just going to do predictions. And if you guys have any questions about like body recomposition or going to the gym, how to get started on like a program or something like that, I'll answer that. Feel free to send in super chats. Obviously, it's always greatly, greatly, greatly appreciated. And use my new link for tigerfitness.com. You go to tigerfitness.com/KyleM. Right now they have, I think it's a 20% off sale off of pretty much all their brands on the website. So make sure you go over there and take advantage of that. I do not believe supplements are key to becoming the best person in the world or the most jacked, juicy, and tan, but they could definitely help. And as you can see, I'm obviously a big fan. Fox Suns through the link below. I just drank, I think it was a Brazil or the Den Blend Dark. I ground up and I just had some of that this morning. It's probably Brazil. Anyways, always fantastic coffee. I give my dad some of it as well. My parts manager. And I don't know if my dad tried it yet. I know Brandon said it was really good. So there's that. And deemed fit through the link below to get yourself some wonderful clothes through my wife's affiliate. And I guess without further ado, let's rock and roll.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
And, oh, man, right there. Drinking an energy drink this morning. I know you guys are going to yell at me because I'm supposed to be the health and fitness guy, but here I am drinking an energy drink. But plenty of caffeine. I did 32 minutes on the treadmill this morning, just kind of walking, incline walking, listen to podcasts and stuff. Dickie, in the bar all night, about to go run a couple miles. What the F even is a hangover? I wish I was that way. Even when I was younger and drinking a lot, I still got hangovers. And they weren't like the worst thing in the world. Man, I hate being hungover. I haven't really drank a lot since my show on the 14th. So about 2-3 weeks ago was the last time I drank. But I didn't even like get drunk. I just kind of had a little bit to drink and, mixed a little too much. And that was pretty rough. Sucked quite a bit. Morty Apple, good morning. I predict we'll be predicting 1 year from now. Yeah, more than likely. Susano, good morning. And B, good morning. Great to see everybody. As I said earlier in the show, if you're just kind of dropping in now, feel free to ask any questions about health and fitness, and I will answer those accordingly to try and get you on the right direction. I know everybody wants to do a, new year, new me. If I can help you, I'll do my best to. So please feel free to drop those questions down below. And as I said earlier, I do have a new affiliate through Tiger Fitness, and this one seems to be a lot more efficient. A couple people have already placed orders. I greatly appreciate that. And they do have a 20% off sale. So if you go to tigerfitness.com/KyleM, then you can get access to my affiliate. You get a little discount. And I don't know if that stacks on top of the New Year's discount or if you just get the New Year's discount. Either way, make sure you go there if you're looking to get some supplements. Went 3 months sober, lost 25 pounds. My tolerance is the same. Nice. We like that though. Never got hungover, but alcoholism also runs in the family. Yeah, well, hopefully you run. Hopefully you're the one that runs in your family, right? If Austrian economics has taught me anything, it's nearly impossible to predict future outcomes due to human action being impossible to plan or outline. Yeah, you know what? And I think I've said this on stream before, but like the vast majority of my predictions last year turned out to be wrong. I want to say in 2022, I predicted DeSantis would do a lot better than he did. That one was completely wrong. So I definitely try to, obviously everybody tries to be accurate in their predictions. And I was just wrong in a lot of them. As far as I saw, I thought Biden would stay in the race because I figured the Democrats would want to try to drag his corpse over the finish line. I was wrong, but I don't like that wasn't one I was particularly holding steadfast to. I just kind of figured that they knew Kamala Harris wouldn't win and the Democrats will do anything to maintain their grip on power. And surprisingly, they, you know, made an about face and got rid of Biden. Me and Hawk both predicted that and we were both wrong. And I think we both kind of recognized that like, oh, there was like a straight up, there was some shady shit going on. But anybody that really was surprised by the fact that Democrats did shady shit and were like freaking out that they put in Kamala Harris without any kind of primary, it's like the Democrats rigged their primaries for the last like three elections. Are you really surprised they did it again? Come on. Come on. I won't lie, like the boozy shits. Dude, I don't. My buddy TJ calls that AIDS, alcohol-induced dribble shits. So I've experienced that too. I know a couple Rock for Life's where I drank a whole bottle of whiskey and just it was in one end out the other. It smells horrible, feels horrible. Not a fan of it. I stopped drinking entirely when I started taking strength training seriously. You can do both. I still like to drink, but like not to excess. I used to drink to excess a lot more, but obviously that being said, I don't really do that all that much. Like if my wife and I go out to eat or something like that, I'll maybe have like a drink or two. That's usually it. But it's usually like at shows and stuff where people are offering me drinks that I'll drink a little bit more. But I don't get like completely shit-faced, or at least not all that frequently. I do sometimes, but you know, we all have our vices. That's okay. It's mainly an issue because it impairs recovery noticeably. Yes, exactly. So 2 years ago now, year and a half ago, whatever, my wife and I traveled out to New Jersey to go see Pantera and Metallica. And that was a blast. I loved hanging out in East Rutherford. And I know some people say that area is not that nice, but I really enjoyed being out there. So we went out there and I trained at a Tillis gym. Oh, no. I'm sorry. I got this backwards. I apologize. This was last May that my wife and I had went out to go see Kelly Clarkson in Atlantic City. And that's when we went to a Tillis gym and I got piss drunk while we were watching Kelly Clarkson. And you know what? Kelly Clarkson actually kicked ass. I actually thoroughly enjoyed that show. I knew some of the songs. Obviously, I'm out there singing along. I'm drinking. It was fun. It was genuinely fun. And that was like the first ever pop concert I went to. Because anybody who knows me, you know, I'm a heavy metal guy. Pantera is my number one favorite band. So, yeah, I got pissed drunk. I was so hungover. I threw up the next day. And then we went to a Tillis gym to go work out because like that was the one that Ian Smith actually went and kicked down the door in. I just wanted to go see it and say that I went there and worked out. I deadlifted 500 pounds, I think, when I hadn't conventionally deadlifted in like a few months. So did pretty good for me, but you know, I do agree that like if you get hammered frequently, it does inhibit your recovery and your body has to burn through the alcohol calories before it can get to the fat calories, which are obviously the calories and the energy that we want to burn. We don't want to be burning alcohol. I would also like to thank you for pointing me to the Real Good Foods chicken. My father and I have been enjoying them. It's low in sodium, which my father has to watch due to his heart. Yes, you're welcome. And I eat that stuff so frequently. The real good chicken is delicious. And I tell people this all the time, but I always get like the hickory barbecue sauce from G Hughes. Well, yeah, I think G Hughes has a hickory, but also like a the Sweet Baby Ray sugar-free barbecue sauce. It's just like eating chicken nuggets from Wendy's. It's so good. So Real Good Foods also has like a lot of tacos, orange chicken bowls, just regular chicken too. If you're dieting, you're looking to lose weight, I really, 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 really recommend you check their stuff out. I think I got like a 5-pound bag for like $13 or something like that. So it's actually pretty reasonably priced too. You can get it at Costco. I don't know if they have it at Sam's Club. I know they have it at Walmart, Giant Eagle, which if you're from another place in the country, I know they don't have Giant Eagle, but like they should have it at most grocery stores and everywhere else a Walmart. So there should be some of that there. They don't understand their own party if they're surprised by that, meaning the systems the party uses. Yeah. So like I said, people were surprised by what happened with the Democrats rigging their primaries. It's like, come on, guys, really? You can't be surprised. Kyle's lying out there like Motley Crue playing guitar on his back with a jacket. Yeah, you know what? If I could find the picture quickly, I would show it. But I want to say it was 2020 or 2021 Rock for Life, where there's a picture of me on stage in camo shorts with a bottle of Jameson chugging it with a guitar, you know, on me. And that was the year that I didn't remember my performance. My wife showed me some videos and we played surprisingly good for me not remembering the performance, but my drummer had messaged me afterwards and I knew that he knew that I knew I should not get that trash before we played. And yeah, I'm like, oh, they're going to throw me out of the band. But no, I haven't got that. I think that was the only time I got like pissed drunk and played. I try to never, ever do that again. Moldy Apple, what's best for the upper pecs? Really, I always now kind of encourage people to go towards the bench press and try to do that, you know, as best as possible. But like for me personally, and this is going to be very dependent upon like your physiognomy, the dumbbell pec fly, I love. Now, I avoided this for years and years and years and years and years because I used to listen to a lot of Athlean X, and you know, he's like one of the biggest names of fitness on YouTube, kind of shoddy with information. And I had Milo Wolf on the podcast forever ago, and I trust him quite a bit. And he had said that that's actually one of the best exercises, the dumbbell pec fly, for developing your chest. So I know when I do a dumbbell pec fly and I'm all the way out here, like even right there, I feel it stretching in my chest. Really, you want to walk, you kind of want to feel for that. Jack and I were talking about this, where basically if you pull your arm back and you get it at a certain position, you could feel your chest getting triggered. So like for those listening, I'm pointing my arm slightly up from like parallel to my chest, and you could feel your upper pec basically firing. So like incline press, I like that quite a bit. When I do incline press, I do use a cambered bar, and it helps get a bigger stretch on your chest. So like, whereas your regular bar, if you're watching this, I'm doing a straight line, right? It's a straight line. Sorry, it may not be perfect, but a cambered bar is more like this, right? Where it curves. So the purpose of the curve is to help give you further to go down before you push back up. So personally, I like the cambered bar for doing all kinds of presses. I like it on incline press a little bit more. I'll do it on flat bench sometimes. Just don't really find it all that. I just find that doing an incline press with a cambered bar, I like that feeling a lot more. Yeah, the Attell story is pretty neat. Anyone thinking about what I said, keep in mind I'm over 40 years of age, so my programming is very different as such. Yeah, and I just turned 30 back in November, but as you get older, your metabolism doesn't slow down. Typically, people slow down. Am I saying you're a worthless piece of shit because you're over 40? No, absolutely not. What I'm saying is that obviously as you get older, there are different factors and different things that you take priority in your life. So I've listened to Lane talk about this a lot, and I have not looked into this research personally, but I take what he says I trust what he says because I know that he's pretty well read on literature, but like people have a poor night's sleep, their chance of injury like skyrockets. And obviously as you get older, you get busier, you know, you have a family and other things that you're just taking priority of. So as you get older, it may be a little bit more optimal for you to maybe dial back the intensity. So instead of deadlifting, you know, one rep maxes all the time, maybe you want to do like 3 to 5 reps, right? Because of all the different things taking priority in your life, maybe you don't sleep as well. Maybe you aren't as focused. So maybe you want to dial back the intensity to reduce the chance of overall injury. Maybe that's for you. Maybe it's not. We're able to be less effective when we're young. Are people focused on strength or shape and size? They're not entirely disconnected. They're pretty tightly correlated. But like, if you are working to make a muscle big, that muscle is going to get strong as a consequence of that. If you're working to get strong, then you're still going to get big as a consequence of that. That being said, a one rep max or like high intensity, low, you know, like low rep kind of stuff, low volume. There is a specific skill of doing a one rep max. Like the ability to deadlift 500 pounds once is a completely different skill than being able to deadlift 355 for like 10 reps, right? You're also tapping into different energy stores. Now, not entirely, but for the most part, when you're talking about like the 40 to 60 range, like the 40 to 60 second range of a set, you're beginning to tap into a different energy store. And that's when supplements, like personally, I use beta-alanine because I do like to do my sets a little bit longer. You're tapping into a different energy store. So, but like the ability to grind through a rep, that's a different skill set than it is to do a higher volume set. So like I'm sure everybody's done this where like you're in a squat or you're trying to pick up, you know, a deadlift off the ground. To be able to grind through that rep requires a lot of neuromuscular training and like a lot of psychological kind of ability to overcome that stress. If it's just, you know, you're able to bang it out first rep, a little bit different, right? Yes and no, you need to be in a high caloric surplus for strength training. I don't think that's entirely true, to be honest with you, because if strength is your primary goal, then you don't have to be in a high caloric surplus, but a caloric surplus would be optimal, right? And I'm sure you probably agree with this, but just for those listening, if you are in a caloric deficit, then obviously your body's tendency and desire is to strip off mass, preferentially fat mass. And if you're resistance training, then your body's going to preferentially go to the fat stores rather than the muscle stores, right? And also if you're eating a higher protein diet, then your body's going to spare muscle as much as it can. Now, obviously when you're losing weight, you're going to lose some lean mass no matter what. But your training and your diet is going to kind of define where that mass comes off the most. Hey, Alex Patino, great to see you. I know you've been a channel member for 8 months, I think. Ever since I could become a member, I know you, or ever since I could have members, you've been a member. Thank you so much for being a member and happy new year to you too, brother. 500 pounds would be at an intermediate level for strength. Yeah, well, mine's 535. Tends to cause people to look like a dad bod as well. Yeah, sorta. By the way, Zoas do kick ass. I can't lie. I want to try the Zoa pre-workout. It was like insanely expensive. I think it was like $40 or $50 for like 30 servings, which that's quite a bit of money, and I don't want to kind of dump that money into it. I like the Ghost. The Ghost energy is really good too. I maybe have like 5 of these a week at most, maybe even less. I don't know. I mostly drink caffeine anyways. I'm asking that to be read to the crowd. Yeah, 500 pounds would be an intermediate level for strength. I looked at this, and it also depends on your body weight. So like if you're 300 pounds, deadlifting 500 pounds is still impressive, but it's a lot more or a lot less impressive than a person who's 180 pounds. So like my best pull, I think, was probably, I think it was like 200 pounds, and I did 500 pounds for 5 reps. But that was with a trap bar as well. Yeah, it doesn't apply to females. Yeah. I don't know what the goals are here, crowd, as I'm new to it. Everybody's going to have their own individual goals, but I think a lot of people's goals tend to be like weight loss, body recomposition. I don't know many people that come over here to say, I need to gain weight because, you know, as everybody knows, we don't really have like an over skinny epidemic. I've been listening to a lot of stuff about China because I'm just trying to become as knowledgeable as I can about China, because obviously that's like my primary focus for foreign policy. I try to understand their demographics and stuff like that as much as possible. So, what does Zoe have in it? I tried and got weird chest effects. No problem with ghosts. Weird. I don't know. Let me see. B12, potassium, riboflavin, magnesium, choline, niacin. I forget where they have the caffeine content. 160 milligrams. Yeah, that's weird. I don't know. Like I said, I really like these. I'm pretty resistant to getting jittery or anything like that. Now, if I drink like a whole pot of coffee, take a fat burner, and drink an energy drink and then a couple pops, yeah, I get a little bit jittery, but that's, you know, probably talking like 600-700 milligrams caffeine. Not good. I honestly don't recommend that. Maybe it's like the niacin content. I don't know. I know niacin sometimes fucks with people. A lot of these changes, depending on the individual we're talking about, that number for male is for male 16 to 24. Generalization is for strength training. It's not for bodybuilding. If you're overly tall like me, you're not going to look like you lift what you lift. Yeah, exactly. So like, it's funny on Twitter, people always make fun of me and say I'm a manlet, but I'm 5'11 tall. I'm not short, but I'm not tall either. I'm on the tall end of average. I posted pictures and videos of me holding like 545 pounds or, you know, when I deadlifted 535, I post those videos of people like, oh, you're a manlet, so it doesn't count. Well, no, I'm actually 5'11. Like, you can call me a manlet, but, you know, 5'11 is a manlet, then what the fuck is like a regular dude? Over 6 feet tall? Okay, well, there's not that many people that are over 6 feet tall in the general population. But regardless, I'm going to keep doing what I do any which way. And that's that. So I've been blabbing for almost 22 minutes. Jesus. I'm going to run a coffee ad real quick. So make sure you guys go over to Fox and Sons and enjoy this real quick. All right, guys, we are going to take a quick break from the show to tell you about the show's sponsor. We are now brought to you by Fox and Sons Coffees. You can see right here, I got the Den Blend Dark. Really enjoy that. I've been drinking a lot of their Brazil Honey Prep. Right here, as you can hear, there's not a lot of beans left in it because I've been drinking it quite a bit. Just to tell you a little bit about Fox and Sons, why I support them and why you should too, is that Stephen had started the company up in Michigan to help teach his son about entrepreneurship. I'm all about that, and I do firmly believe that in order to spread liberty in our lifetimes, we have to support those who support similar values as us. And Stephen does support all the same libertarian values that I bring and talk about on the show a lot. So go to foxandsons.com, use code Kyle at checkout to get 15% off of orders $25 or more, and there's always free shipping whenever you place an order that is more than $37.99. Find their coffee absolutely fantastic, and I'm sure you will too. So, all right, anyways, Conrail, even though we still have unknowns of what will happen in the coming weeks, month, and 4 years, one thing that was predicted that was wrong was nuclear war happening over the holidays. If you could tell me who predicted that, a lot of people predicted that Biden would continue to do things that Biden has done throughout his administration, which is basically just escalation at all times, no diplomacy whatsoever. I haven't seen anybody predict exactly that, but I have seen a lot of people say that, like, he's doing everything he can to sabotage the Trump administration. Although, like, I'll lay that out here in a second. Pretty sure 5'11 is higher than the averages in the U.S. U.S. is globally. Grew up on the tail end of the Cold War. Hard to take doomsayers seriously. That's what I'm referring to. Okay, yeah. I think nuclear war is still like a very, 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 very small likelihood, because mutually assured destruction is quite a thing. And like when people were saying that the hurricanes were like manufactured, I always thought that was kind of goofy, because I don't think people destroy their own like civilization for the purpose of just like nihilistic destruction. I think people generally destroy things, or destroy enemies' things, or at least perceived enemies' things, to enrich themselves or because there's some kind of incentive. I don't think a lot of people destroy just to destroy, right? There always has to be an incentive, right? Or at least in my mind. So when it comes to predictions, my first prediction is that I don't think the Ukraine war is going to end this year. I think Carl Zaw and I talked about this a little bit, where I think it's going to be more of a frozen conflict. There was a lot of people that hung their hat on the Ukraine war being wrapped up. You know, Trump said he would do it as president-elect. Well, so far he's failed to do that. I don't think the day that he's elected on January 20th, it's going to be over. I think the arms shipments may slow. They may even stop. But I highly, highly, highly doubt there's going to be any kind of resolution to the Ukraine war this year. Just because the people that Trump's appointed really don't seem to be on board for that. Trump himself has really kind of abandoned that. And even his strategy for ending the war doesn't seem to be predicated upon ending the war, where basically he pretty much said, we're going to maintain the status quo. And there was a Twitter article, or not a Twitter article, but there was a thing being shared all over Twitter where Trump had literally said that he didn't plan to stop arming Ukraine. So obviously they continue to provide weapons to Ukraine up to this month, and Trump really hasn't made any noise about that. And then obviously with the latest NDA bill, there was no noise about that. There was a lot of noise about the spending bill and the continued resolution, which I'm actually thankful that like Elon Musk and all them kind of lost their minds about this and kind of managed to get it pushed down. I don't think the defense stuff is going to be put forefront. Let me get back to some of these. Center for Strategic and International Studies, aka the State Department, is a decent source for what's going on. Yeah. Generally stay out of this as I'm not on the ground and have a read on it. I could tell you firsthand that arms, ammo, and explosives are being shipped out to Europe. Like I said, I don't see it stopping. If it does, I want to be wrong here. To be clear, I'm not here to say that I hope this shit continues. I'm just telling you, in my mind, what seems realistic to me. And it really seems realistic that Trump isn't going to do anything with regards to foreign policy. So long as Ukraine has what it needs, it's going to keep fighting. Yeah, exactly. Because I don't think Zelensky really cares. And I think a lot of the people, even in the Trump administration, who are on Trump's side, are kind of okay with spilling Ukrainian and Russian blood, so long as it maintains U.S. hegemony and weakens Russia's standing in the world, which Russia... Yeah, we'll keep in mind, if you know about it, it's propaganda. Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, I'm glad you clarified that at least. I drive a truck, and I've been a part of that transporting all that. But yeah, so I don't think the Ukraine war is going to come to an end. And then when it comes to the immigration stuff, we've even seen Trump and Elon kind of pivot on this stuff. And honestly, I changed my mind over the last, I would say, probably 6 months or so on the immigration stuff. And maybe this is a consequence of spending so much time with Hawk and kind of more of the dissident right guys, where I used to be a little bit of the mind, like I'm okay with illegal migration and, you know, obviously not okay with illegal immigration. But I would say definitely more recently, I've kind of changed my mind where I think a immigration moratorium, as in stopping all immigration, is a good idea. And also Pete, listening to Pete quite a bit, kind of changed my mind on this as well, where like, I think that America needs to be for Americans, and America needs to find a way to make its own citizens more productive, incentivize them to be more productive, hire Americans for these well-paying jobs that we're giving to H-1B immigrants, and allow Americans to feel like they can feed their families and, you know, afford having a family. Without, you know, feeling like they're living a paycheck to paycheck. I think prioritizing that over welcoming in immigrants is something that I think is necessary, right? I don't think we're going to get any deportations. I think you may get a small amount, but I don't think it's going to be the biggest mass deportation campaign in history. And if it is, once again, all this stuff is always, I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think there's going to be mass deportations. I think the first time that somebody gets on camera, a little old lady getting thrown out of her home by ICE or something like that, people are just going to lose all will for that. And sorry, I just think that that is what it is. It sucks, but it just is what it is. Against that, but it's more due to work shortages. Well, once again, in my opinion, we need to incentivize people to get back to work or to work for Americans. And like, none of this stuff is going to be easy. I just don't think immigration is the right fix for it. Like, we do not have the public resource already strained enough. So we need to figure that out. We need to figure out why birth rates are so low here in America. And I mean, we have lots of theories about that. I have lots of ideas about that, but like, we should fix that. America needs to be for Americans before anybody else. Until we start making more babies, we don't really have a choice but to get people in. I don't know that I agree with that. More quality persons. We don't have the budget. Yeah. So I don't think there's going to be mass deportations. I don't think that's going to happen. And you've seen Trump pivot from his position on H-1B visas from what he ran on in 2016. Does that mean that he can't change his mind? Don't know. That's up in the air. But I think him changing his mind on this more recently is more indicative of Elon and the PayPal mafia having their share of the pie here, right? So I've laid this out whenever I talk to people about the incoming Trump administration, is that you have the PayPal mafia who donated a lot of money to Trump, you know, namely Elon Musk donating, what was it, like $270 million to Trump. And then you have Miriam Adelson. And then you obviously have like a lot of the neoconservatives and stuff kind of donating their money to Trump and backing him. Hey, Chad Arabia, what's up, man? Good to see you. Hope you're doing well and hope 2025 treats you well. You know, I've been thinking about your Substack a lot and I read it. I think we should do a show sometime talking about kind of employment and how to optimize employment, because that's something that I think a lot of guys don't think about, is how to leverage employment and leverage job offers to get yourself something better. I think a lot of people are scared to walk in and tell their boss, right here, motherfucker. because unfortunately, that was something that was not easy for me to come by and not easy for me to accept, that sometimes you got to lay your dick on the table and tell your boss to pound salt or else you're leaving. I think a lot of guys are scared to do that. But, you know, I think it's a necessary thing, because if you don't, then employers will generally take what you give for them and you're not appreciated in the modern workplace generally, which sucks. It is what it is. But, you know, as we always say in kind of the red pill sphere, you know, we accept it for what it is and kind of move on with that. I go back to work on the 4th and we'll be, oh geez, man, you guys are crowding the chat. Go back to work on the 4th and we'll be back on the 11th, 12th for, a week, 2 weeks break. Happy New Year, Bull Rush. Good to see you, man. South Korea and Japan are perfect examples for such a thing happening. In my opinion, we need constituents to understand the problem before having an opinion on it. Yeah. Well, I used to be of this mind, right? And this isn't to say that I don't think we should this isn't to say that I think we shouldn't educate people, right? I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that I'm more of the mind of elite theory, where it's a small group of elite individuals with money and power and influence that decide the way things are going to go. And then people generally kind of get that through the cultural zeitgeist. And then it confirms, or basically the elites pass down culture and ideas, and then the people who already like them kind of assimilate to that. And then that's how kind of things move about. I don't think it's a bottom-up thing. I used to think that, but you know, you definitely kind of see this with the Trump campaign in particular, where, as I was just laying out, Miriam Adelson, Elon Musk, Vivek Ramaswamy, and all these people, Mark Andreessen, David Sachs, all kind of get into the ears of elites, or are elites themselves, and then kind of move things. So to go back to the immigration conversation, I think, like I said, this is Elon Musk saying, hey, this is our piece of the pie, and we want high-skilled immigration, so we're going to get this. The picks when it comes to like Secretary of Defense, Secretary of State and all this, I think a lot of these are kind of Miriam Adelson and the neoconservatives saying, this is our piece of the pie, we're getting this. And as I've laid out before, I do think that PayPal Mafia is actually a better influence on Trump than the Israeli lobby, but there's overlap and there's also their own interests. Now, the reason why I believe that the PayPal Mafia has a better interest is because they're a little bit more like oriented towards business and removing the managerial state. the Israeli lobby and the neoconservatives could give a shit less about that. They just want, you know, to basically expand the U.S.'s influence militarily all over the world. And, you know, hey, let's maybe wind down Ukraine a little bit and ramp up in the war, you know, I don't want to say war, but like Cold War with Iran. And then also, you know, kind of bolster Israel's standing in the Middle East and hedge against Iran, you know, as you see this with ouster of Assad. We want to bolster ourselves there. And then also the Taiwan issue is a big deal. And specifically you see this with like Elbridge Colby, who is a very influential person and was in the first Trump administration under Secretary of State. I believe he's working with Mike Waltz now. And their main target is China, right? And this is a lot of, this is kind of a through line with the Trump administration, with Marco Rubio, Mike Waltz, Elbridge Colby, and I'm sure there's other people that I just can't think of off the top of my head. They're all very, very oriented towards this Cold War with China. Steve Bannon's another example who isn't necessarily in the Trump administration, but he's still kind of like a thought leader in this whole right-wing populist movement where they're very oriented and focusing a lot of resources towards the Cold War with China. It's more getting them to teaching themselves rather than parroting talking points or going with the crowd. Like you said, I think you're kind of swimming upstream here, where I just don't think that's going to happen. Where, in my mind, having someone like Dave Smith, who's someone I really look up to, he's been on the show before, having someone like him in the front of the MAGA movement is a net positive. Where I wish he would kind of be a little bit more confrontational and be, maybe not confrontational is the right word, but willing to say that, like, hey, we cannot fight a war with China, China's not your enemy. And perhaps focus a little bit more on this Cold War with China, because this is where the MAGA movement is really piss poor. Having him in front of these people is really, really good, like specifically on Tucker Carlson's program. And like Jeffrey Sachs, when he was on Tucker, that was fantastic because he was laying out some of this whole Cold War with, or he was talking about how there is this whole section of our government and State Department that's saying we want to fight a war with China. And like, it's amazing to me that Tucker doesn't know that. I don't know. He's been one of the loudest propagandists for the Cold War with China. So I don't know. Is he ignorant or what? You know, what the hell's going on here? I'm still of the mind that the biggest thing that needs to change is the foreign policy. It's much more simple to say we need to change immigration, but the wars are much bigger detriment, in my opinion. I don't know where I fall on this anymore, to be completely honest with you. I would tend to err on the side of you, Conrail, that I still prioritize foreign policy, but, you know, as to whether or not what's more important, I don't know. I sincerely don't know. The dissident right guys would say that immigration is the only issue. Hawk says that. I don't know that I wholeheartedly agree. I don't think you could say that there is an only issue in today's respect. I think there's important issues and issues that are more or less important. I think reasonable people and good people can disagree on the importance of foreign policy and immigration. Like I said, my personal priority is foreign policy, and that's why I talk about that a lot. So, you know, just is what it is. Yeah, class our country, easy clap. More worried about blue-collar work jobs and jobs that matter. Yeah, and I mean, once again, I'm a blue-collar guy. I've been a mechanic for 13 years, so obviously that's kind of where I go. And I think people should do these jobs, but at the same time, we have to understand the incentives here, where like people's incentives are to maybe work the gig economy, where they can make a little bit more money not having a 9-to-5. I make pretty damn good money when it comes to being a mechanic, and I understand that... I'm at the top of the field when it comes to the automotive field. Like when you look at the average income of the average mechanic, I make significantly more than that. And that's because I went to school for years and years and years and dedicated myself to becoming the top in that field. Other guys that want to go into blue collar fields, they don't pay an insane amount. I mean, I threw out a tweet the other day, you know, maybe I could pull this up. I'll see if I can find it. And I apologize if this kind of takes me a little bit longer than it should.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
But I laid out the average salary where people always say like, oh, you can make six figures a year being a blue-collar worker. But I just, unfortunately, that's not the entire truth. Sorry, it'll take me a second to find it here. Keep pushing. I got to go back quite a few days, and sorry, I do enjoy talking quite a bit of shit on Twitter. Okay, here we go. Okay, so there was this lady, or Ian Miles Chong said more people need to get into it because some Mary Tiles, Texas, whatever the hell her name is, was saying that more people should go into trades. And this isn't what I'm saying. Like, I'm not saying people shouldn't do these jobs. What I'm saying is, like, if you're saying that people are going to make six figures a year being in on the trades, you're just wrong. I don't like that you're wrong, but you're wrong. So I quote tweeted Ian Miles Chong, who I just can't stand. As you can see, I haven't blocked. More people need to get into it. Plus, you can make six figures. So I said, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. Here's the average of each trade. A plumber makes 61K a year. Carpenters make 56K a year. Automotive techs make 48K a year. Electricians make 64K a year. Construction workers, it varies, but it's 52 to 59K a year. HVAC tech makes 58K and a welder makes 41,000. Someone else replied to my comments and said, where was it? They said, okay, yeah. Mitch said, you forgot truck driver, $34,000. Yeah, most blue collar jobs, I hate to say it, you're not going to make six figures a year working a blue collar job in the States. It sucks, but it is what it is. So they're still necessary. They're still important jobs, but you're just not going to make six figures a year. Are those entry level salaries? No. So I Googled what the average salary was. I believe they use the Census Bureau to get the information. Now, like I said, most techs I know make more than $48,000 a year. I think the way they're coming to this is that they're probably taking entry level and then obviously senior level positions and then kind of dividing it by the overall amount. So starting out, you're not going to make six figures a year, but I'm pretty sure even most people far into their career aren't going to make six figures a year. And it also depends on where you live. So like here in Pennsylvania, the cost of living is pretty cheap here in Pennsylvania. So you could get a pretty damn nice house here in Pennsylvania for about six figures, like just at $100,000. I have a pretty nice house. My house was $89,900, three floors, 2.5 bathrooms, three bedrooms. I paid $89,900 for my house. My mortgage is $730 every single month. So I don't make six figures a year, but I mean, I live pretty damn good for the money that I do make. If you make six figures here in Pennsylvania, people are going to look at you a little bit sideways in like a good way, right? They know that you're a hustler. Conrail. I know Pete and other right-wingers strongly disagree, but it's a much more realistic assessment of the likelihood of how this system will end. Unfortunately, the Fed's not coming to save us. I'm a little bit more convinced of their view. Not that I buy whole hog that Powell is some like an innate patriot who's coming to save the West or anything like that. I'm not convinced of that. What I am convinced of is that I do think that he is a little bit more focused on America. I don't think he's quite as like bullish on foreign stuff. I do think that he wants to kind of keep some stuff more back at home. I don't think he's like some hidden patriot. I just think that he's more of like, no, my interests are more focused on America. That's it. Truck driver, and I promise you can make 50 years or 50K a year starting out. Yeah, I believe that. And most truck drivers I know do make pretty damn good money. But, you know, once again, we're just talking about the general gist of all truckers. This is tracked, to be clear, Bureau of Labor and Statistics. Yeah, but since last year, I still cleared close to 60K. Yeah, and I mean, I cleared well over 48,000, just so people are clear. I mean, I cleared a little over 80,000 being a tech here in Pennsylvania. But once again, that's not the average. Your mileage may vary. Would keep in mind the Bureau of Labor Statistics rejected my state's tracking this year. Not everything is going to show up in the... Exactly. I mean, we're just talking about averages overall, so they're not perfect. It's just a rough guide. Anytime I talk about stats, data, or anything like that, I always try to tell people that, like, it's not gospel, it's guidelines. It's kind of what they tell us in my work when it comes to, like, General Motors service information, is that, like, this stuff is to be interpreted as, like, wholehearted gospel. It's just guidelines. Just kind of stuff to steer you in the right direction, but, you know, your mileage may vary. You may have to take a different path. Are you doing another chat with Jim Bob this year? Yeah, I would love to, actually. Right now, I'm going to have somebody on in a couple weeks who, Moldy, you might know, and I know you'd really like. I've had him on the show before, but it's been probably 200-something episodes it's been on. He was on Cognitive Vigilance recently. Whenever we get back to that, it's just whenever we get back to it. I don't know, but yeah, I definitely think we'll do another chat. I don't know when, but yeah, always open to have Jim Bob back on. Owner operators and trucks do make, you're probably talking about six figures. But yeah, also need to say this, I'm not telling anyone to do this, isn't directed, and yeah, exactly, we're just kind of discussing all that. So I don't know if I have any other. Oh, Doge. I think Doge will probably make small cuts every here and there, but if I'm being completely honest with you, I don't think it's going to be as significant as people hope. I don't think they really put anything major on the table, so doubt there's going to be any major changes. I do like that Elon had kind of cut the bill, that whole spending bill, down quite a bit, but excuse me, I don't think it's going to be anything significant. The guys from Due Dissidence, who I enjoy quite a bit, I've been trying to get them on the show, but they won't answer my fucking emails. They think Doge will disband this year. I don't know that that's going to happen. I think Doge will still stick around. I just don't think that they're going to be as successful in their goals as they would hope. RFK, when it comes to the health stuff, I think he might make some progress and maybe he'll ban some stuff. But I think the overall obesity rate is going to continue to go down, but I think it's going to be largely as a side effect to access to Ozempic rather than anything else. And I've talked about it a little bit on the show, and maybe I do owe it to do an entire show on Ozempic alone. I know Crystal and I talked about it a little bit, but I am a little bit optimistic about Ozempic in the respect that I think it's going to help people achieve better health. Now, we can talk about the nuances of if people get better because of it or, you know, whatever. I think it's going to be a net positive in respect that, like, people are going to lose weight. I think that's good. But is it going to be a lifesaver? We have yet to see. But I do think people losing weight is good. So banning the food dyes and stuff like that, I think that's a relatively insignificant thing. The only studies I could find linking, like, red dye 40 and tartrazine or whatever the hell he was freaking out about, they were mostly done like rodent studies. And this is what people always do, is they find mechanistic data or like cell culture data. And then basically, if you were to just drop a whole bunch of red dye on like cells in a petri dish, then they develop cancer or they react in some insane way. And I always try to stress this, just because there's a mechanism does not mean it leads to a human outcome. So just because if you have a cell culture that gets highly inflamed from like a whole shitload of omega-6 fatty acids, that doesn't mean that's going to reflect in humans. And we actually know that it doesn't, because when you give humans omega-6 fatty acids in the form of seed oils over consumption over a long period of time, their inflammation levels don't increase. Like, if you look at their CRP, their C-reactive protein, which is a measure of inflammation, it doesn't increase from consuming linoleic acid or omega-6 fatty acids. Too many interests and big money involved to allow Doge to mess up that gravy train. pretty much. Do know that Doge isn't constitutional, has no constitutional power. Now, the argument I've heard is that when Trump gets elected, that could change because maybe they can make it into an official department. Don't know. Maybe that's going to happen. And I've been entirely guilty of kind of, I don't want to say poisoning the well or blackpilling, but I have been guilty of making pretty harsh predictions and being pretty pessimistic about the next Trump administration before he's elected. And hey, man, fair enough. We just don't know how a lot of this stuff is going to play out until Trump gets elected. Hopefully he does get in there and is serious about some of the stuff that he campaigned on. Do I think he is? No. But we just won't know if there's going to be results from the next Trump administration until he gets in there and, you know, moves some stuff around. I just don't know. Nobody knows. And anybody saying for certain, being a little foolhardy. And like I said, we just don't know. So I've been going for about 50 minutes. So if you guys have got more questions, feel free to send in some chats. I appreciate all super chats. And as I said earlier on in the show, feel free to go to tigerfitness.com/KyleM to let them know that the Matovic family sent you and get yourself some supplements. They have a 20% off sale going on right now for the new year. So I recommend you guys go over there and get some supplements if that's what you're into and want to do. I know I buy lots of stuff off Tiger Fitness. As a functioning adult, I do believe you should have the capacity to make the decision on what goes in your mouth and what you should consume and what not to. Yeah, I agree. But obesity is a very nuanced thing, and it's not just an emotional, a cultural, or responsibility thing. People eat for a whole multitude of reasons, and we're also not wired to live in this hyperpalatable food environment. And just there's so much that goes into obesity. It's not just like a conscious decision, right? And it's not to say you aren't responsible, but it is to say like you could have all this information and still fail, right? It just is what it is. So yeah, too early. Yeah, I think it's way too early to tell how serious the next Trump administration is. My thing is you can always, I shouldn't say always, but like the best predictor of future behavior is relevant past behavior. And judging by Trump's first administration, I think he's perfectly willing to do the bidding of the Democrats whenever they give him pushback on anything. So, yeah, my predictions are just a lot of the stuff that he campaigned on isn't going to come to fruition. I think people are largely just going to kind of let it go and kind of move on to the next thing. Yeah, good stream Matovic did on that particular topic. Yeah. All right. Well, if you guys don't got anything else, commoncrown.com. We got a couple cool shows coming up. So if you're in the southwestern Pennsylvania area, feel free to come out, check us out, hang out. Always love to meet people in person, have a drink with you and party, all that good stuff. And always love to get more music in people's ears. And we will have more music in your ears next year. Looking forward to continuing to kick ass with a Common Crown. I know B was in the chat earlier, and hopefully he's jamming. I'm going to probably jam for a little bit and then help my mom and family out with some stuff. So tomorrow I have Ken Hammond on. We're going to talk about China, which that should be a lot of fun. And I have a guest scheduled for about 2 weeks from now. Moldy Apple, I think you'll enjoy that one. And yeah, tigerfitness.com, themed fit, and Fox Sons Coffee. Use code Kyle at checkout. Yeah, I think that's it. So everybody, thank you so much for listening. Tune in tomorrow as I will have Dr. Ken Hammond on to talk about China. So guys, thank you. Oh, Alex Patino, thank you so much, brother, for the $10 beer money. Enjoy the new year. Thank you so much, brother. You too. And I'll leave you with where the heck is it?
Falcone Punch!
Thank you guys so much. Later, Kyle and everyone, Conrail. All right, everybody, one more time. Cheers to the new year. Happy 2025. May this year bring you closer to your goals, and hopefully you get everything you want, and hopefully you work for everything you want, because that's the only way you're going to get what you want. So until then, everybody, have a great day and take care.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.